Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God, teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to comprehend this. We got to comprehend it. In all our getting, you said to get understanding. So we're looking for understanding, God. Teach us, God. We're students. We don't know everything. We need your help. And so, God, I pray for the Holy Spirit be the one to actually teach your people, because you said we have no need that any man teach us, because of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does that for us. So we thank you, Lord, that we will not be the same. We will be completely different simply because of the fact that we receive the word of God in Jesus' name. This word will change our lives. And Father, we come to address the enemy again because we have authority over him. We are small case kings. He is the prince in the power of the air. Last time we played checkers, we know that the king rules. So we are with the king as small case kings ruling on this earth. So we take authority over you, Satan. Remind you, you are going to the lake of fire. And God told me to remind you of this consistently, so you shut up and leave us alone. We resist you, and you must flee. This word will go into good ground, bring forth great fruit in abundance, just like seed going into ground to bring forth all kinds of fruit that we enjoy. I cancel the assignment of the enemy, even the retaliating demons that would try to come back and do a counterattack. You're canceled in Jesus' name. You have no job. I decree it and call it done in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, let's go to Luke chapter number 15. We have been studying the subject of what do I owe you, and this has many tentacles to it. There are many arms to this area of teaching, and I cannot apologize for that, but I'm following where the Spirit of God would have me to go each and every time I'm before you on this subject, so I'm doing my best to be able to give you what is the medicine that God is prescribing to you. You know, you probably have in your cabinet at home, your medicine chest or whatever, you probably have some medicine that you've received over the years for different conditions. But woe to you if you take off that medicine and take it now because the conditions are not there and perhaps the medicine is not for you for right now. Every time you come to this church, listen to me, this is why you shouldn't miss any church. It's not because Pastor Shorter wants to be able to look like he's got a crowd. It's because the word is alive and full of power. Just like the many of the things that you take as medicine is alive and it goes into your body. And, you know, I'm thinking of, I believe it's penicillin. I don't know of others. But some of these things are alive and they go into your body and they actually help you. The word is alive. When you hear this word, it will not be repeated exactly again ever. What you are hearing today is exclusively coming to you now, to those of you that are here now and those of you online, but those of you especially that's here, because it's something about coming. You have to make an effort to come. And God honors that effort. Jesus couldn't do what he did to save all of us until he came. He had to come to this earth. He couldn't just sit there and pray for you. He couldn't just wish good things for you. And you are going to have to, we all have to understand that there is something about coming to the Lord or coming to the house of the Lord to be able to make some changes in our life. You have to make that effort. There are too many lazy Christians. COVID made us lazy. Sitting at home, I was speaking with a pastor today that's actually his church is going to be involved with, and he's a Samoan pastor, and he's going to get some of the other Samoan pastors here in Tacoma working with us as well for Jesus in the Park. And he was saying how since COVID, some of the congregation members just got lazy, and that's what the enemy wanted us to do. Because if you can't come, you can't serve. If you can't serve, you can't really be joyous. You're not going to be joyful just sitting at home in your stupid PJs and them stupid bunny rabbit shoes that you wear, those slippers. You're not going to be happy. You got to get out of that. You got to force yourself. I'm talking to you watching my live stream. I'm not scolding you. I'm trying to help you. You need to get out of that. You need to make an effort because God's going to honor the effort. Jesus came.
You need to come. You came. You will receive. Some of you, you just come to your television or just to your electronic device, your mobile device or whatever, because you can't get here. We got people sitting in the hospital right now. We got people in other states right now watching, their whole congregations watch our programs here, our live stream. And thank God for them, and hello to you. But what, if you can come, you need to come. You need to be in the atmosphere of the anointing. I'm just telling the truth. But when we look at this, Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11, let's go to verse number 11. Because Jesus is giving several examples of ways that the kingdom of God operates. And this is one of the ways that we got to understand concerning the kingdom of God. Because what do I owe you? What do I owe you? What do I owe you? I don't owe you anything, is what a lot of people say about God. Why do you want me to try to do something for you? Why do I have to do anything for you? Really, you don't really owe God anything. God gives you a free will to be able to live for him or to leave him. He will still love you if you don't serve him. But he wants you to be part of his family. Now, last week we looked at Joshua. Hopefully we can get there after we take care of the prodigal son here in verse number 11, starting verse number 11, Luke 15. But we started looking at the book of Joshua, chapter 7, where Joshua was dealing with this little town called Ai. We've driven by it. We didn't stop there when we were in Israel. But it's a little, you blink and you miss it kind of place. You know, there's nothing there. And this is where there was some folks that they were taking over, of course. And they had to be able to run, you know, take over this area. But they got defeated there. Because of one person, listen to me, one person that was in the group of many that was part of the troops of Israel, he did something that was against God's word. One person. And the whole group was defeated. In fact, some of them lost their lives because of one person doing something that God told them not to do. And actually, it had to do with coveting. He took something that God considered cursed, and whatever God doesn't like, you shouldn't like. Oh, gosh. That's where the amen goes. If God doesn't like it, you shouldn't like it. I'm seeing too many faces saying, really? I mean, you know, Kyle looking at a new gate. Really? Does that thing open? Yeah, it opens. God does not want you to be a Yeah, okay, I'll take that basic. I am not going to have my children at home doing the opposite of what I want them to do. I'll whip their butt and call CPS for them. Now, they're 35 years old. That's my youngest, so those days are over. So you can't say nothing to me. But no, you're going to carry out what this father, because we had a two-parent household, and I can't apologize for that. And a lot of people feel like I'm supposed to apologize because I'm a father and a grandfather and I take care of my children. Like I'm supposed to feel bad because there's so many broken families. I feel bad for the families, but I ain't apologizing for being a good father to my children. That's your problem, okay? And maybe it's not your problem. Maybe it was your mama, your daddy, they wanted to go and do all this stuff, and I ain't gonna get into it. But, you know, you can't stop getting mad at people that have a family. A two-parent family. And I got to say this to this generation that's coming up, the gens and the millennials. I got to say it to you because there's a whole lot of them that's angry. They're angry. They're angry. They're angry because they're still stuck in the basement, but they won't go with what worked before for people. It's a new day, folks. Okay, I'm going to tell them that too. This morning, 6:14. Spirit Lord, during my prayer time, told me to tell you, stop acting like you're living in sackcloth and ashes. You watch some of these preachers. I watched some this morning. You watch some of these preachers. They're going to tell you, time has changed. We are not living like bums anymore. We picked up holes in the pants, holes in the head, tattooed, glued, anything. what the world did. And God says, we think, we don't think the world has a wave. We think the church just has a wave. That was a wave. That was a wave of how people felt then. But right now, even on a national level, community level, church level, God's ready to bless this church. I'm talking about the body of Christ like never before. Do you know in the last days, the wealth of the sinner will be laid up for the just? So I'm not going to apologize for telling you you're part of royalty. You just haven't figured out what a king is. And to be part of the family of the king? Are you kidding me? For one thing, you don't have to pay taxes. Oh, wow. But that's true. You have many benefits when your family, and see, people get angry because there's so many broken households. Oh gosh, I didn't know I was going. But I have to, let me minister to you. You need God the Father more than the people with two-parent households. You need a father in your life. And I'm not your father, but I'll introduce you to a wonderful father. God Almighty. He is your Jehovah Jireh. You saw this girl stand up here talking about this violin, viola, and plucking and playing harp and all that. That girl is fatherless. She's fatherless. I have known her for years in this church. And she came to me one day when she was about, 12, 10 years old. And she said, how old were you, girl? 7 years old. And she said, would you please be my father? My father died. Now, what am I supposed to say? No, I'm too busy. So you're gonna be her father. And in times when she's gone through her teenage regular living, which is crazy, duh, I've gotten in her face. I said, girl, you better cut that out. I ain't playing with you. That's right. Yeah. I ain't playing with you. You better stop it. I heard you. Your mama told me too. Now, I ain't playing with you. Now, I've never spanked her. I've never even put her in the corner. I don't even know what corner to put her in. Yeah, okay, conviction of the Holy Spirit. Okay, okay. That's when I just look at you sometimes like, you know, you ain't. We all need that. We need God the Father to do that to us. But you also need a church, a pastor, a leader, somebody in your life that's not going to play with you also. And instead of running from that, you need to run to it. That's where the clap goes, right there. That's where the clap goes, right there. We got too many people running from the church. There's help in the sanctuary. But the sanctuary ain't just a sanctuary. This is God's house, though it's temporary, because he's taking us to heaven. And Jesus is literally building your mansion. He's not building your tiny, they got these little tiny homes. He ain't building that. Thank God they got somewhere to live. I'm not criticizing them. But thank God they got a shelter with something over their head. But God ain't like that. God is building a mansion for every one of you. I think we're going to be shocked. Some of you are going to get up there shocked. I mean, I went to heaven, saw the gates, where we're going in. I believe we're going in through the Emerald Gate if you're from this region of the country. But anyhow, I saw that, heard the music, saw some things I ain't talking about. It'll be in the book. But I saw these things, but I did not see the mansions. I think when we see them. Now, Jesse Duplantis, brother that we minister together and share together, and he helps us a lot and we help him. But anyhow, Jesse Duplantis, you know, he has seen his mansion. In fact, he was talking to Jesus when he went to heaven. Read his book called Heaven. He was talking to Jesus about his mansion, and Jesus was like, yeah, man, I'm doing you a good, real good one here. This stuff is real. It's more real than you sitting in this building. Heaven is more real than here. Because this is made from heaven. As it is on earth, let it be done in heaven. So it's done in heaven first before it's done here. And we should only approve what is approved in heaven. Getting off my track. It says, a certain man had two sons. There's two ways to go with this. Two sons. Both of them have problems, and we'll deal with both of their problems. One son stayed home. He goody two-shoe. He's going to take care of everything the father wants, you know. But he's frustrated. He's frustrated because he ain't really getting what he really wants because he don't realize what he's got. And a lot of times that's how we are. I serve the Lord. I go to church all the time. But I don't have nothing. God don't give me nothing. You sorry thing, you're lying. You got everything. And then you got the ones that go away from the Lord and go out and sleep with harlots. And listen, or hoes. It's in the Bible, whores. It's in the Bible, whores. Say, everybody say whore. Well, now you're just as bad as me. Okay, whore. And if there's whores, there's got to be whoremongers. Whoremongers. Say whoremongers. You want me to show it in the Bible? I'll show it next week so you'll come back to church. All right, so, but anyhow, there's whores and whoremongers. And that's where he went, the other son went to. The one stayed home and got frustrated with staying home because it looked like daddy don't like me. He ain't giving me nothing. And see, we got to deal with that. Can't deal with it right now. It'll come up in scripture in a little bit. But the other son, he took his stuff. Let's find out what he did. Now, I ain't got time to do all of this today, but we're going to get started with it. I'll tell you that. Verse: a certain man had two sons. I don't care how many children you have. Each one is different. And you have to learn how to deal with each one of them differently. If you don't, you think you got a cookie cutter family going on, you're crazy. You're going to have a tough time. Because each one, you got some, you know, and the ones you think are really freaky or crazy or, you know, doing stupid stuff, they a lot of times the ones turn back around. Completely different. It's like, I couldn't figure that one out. And then the one you think is all that and a bag of chips and, you know, and you're just happy. Woo, this one is so, it's just, and then after a while, man, gosh, man, what's wrong with that kid? What's wrong with that kid? 90 years old, still acting a fool. Because you're always a child of God. God, you never grow up with God. God never says, you're trained. We're always training. Verse 2, it says, and the younger of them, let's eat up and dig through each word. The younger of the two. Less experience, numerically younger, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. I got another translation. I forgot my iPad, so I wasn't going to preach. No, I'm just kidding. I forgot my iPad, and so I got to use my phone. Can you all let me use my phone? Because I got a translation on here. I don't even remember what it is, but it's a translation. It says, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of your property. So he got his share of his property. Apparently the father had a lot because the father still had a lot when he gave his share to the boy. See, and sometimes we take the stuff and forget where it came from. I said this when we were building this building. Whatever you do to get it, you're going to have to do it to keep it. Whatever you did to get her, brother, you're going to have to still continue to do some of that to keep her. Sister, combing that hair and fixing that face is what you was doing when you was dating. Okay, gaining 300 pounds, and you know what I mean, forgetting to put your wig on ain't gonna help. Okay, you gonna have to remember the wig, and you can't get mad because that's all you got him. Okay, so if you got him with all that, you're gonna have to keep him with all that. Now, I'm taking it to the physical so you can relate, but I'm talking about the spiritual. If you use your faith to get it, you're going to have to use your faith to keep it. We had a Sunday night service we would do on a regular basis. We'll probably start it again at least in some kind of form. We would do prayer and ministry of healing on, I can't remember what Sunday night it was. But anyhow, I think it was first Sunday night. Anyhow, so we would have that going on. And there was a lady that came there that we saw many miracles during that time, many healings. There's a lady that came to that service, And she wasn't a member of the church. She didn't go to anybody's church, but she couldn't walk. And so she would come in with these, you know, her she could, you know, she had these sticks with her. She was walking, you know, what was it called? Crutches. But anyhow, but she couldn't really walk. She was just barely making it. Sometimes she'd come in a wheelchair. And I would lay hands on this lady during this service, and all of a sudden, bam, the anointing would hit her, and she's like, she can run. She would go home and come back the next time. I think Simpson, you remember this, Deacon Simpson. She would come back the next time. The next time she would come back, she's doing this again, or in a wheelchair. And this happened a couple of times. I lay hands on again, bam, the anointing would hit her, and all of a sudden she's healed, she's ready to run. And one time she came in, and the Spirit of the Lord said, ask her who she's living with. I said, who are you living with? My boyfriend. I said, so you fornicating? I mean, I said it. You're living with somebody as though you're married and you're not? I said, I'm wasting my time laying my hands on you because you ain't going to keep it. Because the way you get it is the way you got to keep it. You can't just come up in the church and just get stuff and then all of a sudden run out and think God ain't watching you. He expects you to get closer to him, not worse than you were before. He expects you to get closer. This is going from glory to glory. This ain't going backwards. This is going from, you know, it's supposed to go forward. It ain't going backwards. The relationship's supposed to increase. We're supposed to get more and more intimate with God, just like your marriage should be getting better and better. After a while, y'all have some arguments you don't do anymore. You know, you used to argue about the toothpaste, you know, when they didn't have the little flip cap that stayed on the toothpaste like it does now. You would always fuss about the toothpaste cap missing now, but now it don't even matter. Just get a little bit of toothpaste on the counter, and you got to clean it up because he ain't going to never do it. He don't even see it. Dude, I'm a man. He don't even see it. And so ain't no sense in getting mad and arguing about that no more. You know he ain't going to clean it up. He can't even see it. Now the brother that was shaking his head, it looks like your toothpaste cap. You the one with the counter. Is that, no, or is it her? It's not toothpaste. What is it? What is it? No, you can't say what it is. You can't even say what it is. I get it. See, there goes another domestic. Okay. There we go. What is it? It's what? Dishes. I ain't saying nothing. I sure ain't getting over there. Okay, let's go over here for a little while. Shoot, man. See. Woo! We have a story for that one, but we won't give it today. All right. Okay. So we'll leave that one alone. So the younger of them, Amplified says, the younger of them inappropriately said to his father, see, there's some stupid stuff we say. Inappropriately. Shouldn't have never said it in the first place, but said to the father, give me my share of the property that falls to me. So he divided the estate between the two of them. Now, really, the father has nothing left if he divided the estate. He's given everything to them. And that's what God did with you. Amen. All things are yours, the Bible says. Everything you... See, I hope I can get healed. What are you talking about? He paid for it 2,000 years ago. Your healing's been paid for. Your property has been paid for. You're never going to get a bill that you can't pay because he's the one that's helping you to pay it. Now, if you could do some stupid stuff, he ain't paying for that. You got to follow what he says. See, a lot of times people want to come to the Lord after they did something. We have to come to him beforehand and ask him, should we do it first? Don't go out there willy-nilly doing anything you want to do and think he's going to cover it. That's like your kids going out there and taking your credit card thinking they can buy anything and you're just going to pay for it. You ain't gonna... You got some sense in your head. You wouldn't promote that. And give them another credit card next week. You're gonna say, no, you go out, you can have $50. Go to the movies, eat some popcorn, not too much, okay? And come back with the card and bring me the receipts. Now, I don't know how practical I got to get, but I feel like I got to get down in the weeds with y'all. I feel like this is like life 101. Okay, here we go. The younger of them said, now, are you younger or not? You need to know who you are. Are you immature? Or do you, and my wife, she gets to me sometimes because I have to do so many little preliminary things and so many announcements, and we're trying to share so much vision right now. And she's like, Don, would you please just read the Bible and teach the word? Because she's a mature believer. And I'll be saying, well, I got to be able to explain things to people and help them to understand, because there's a lot of babes in Christ that are just now coming to the things of God, and it's hard for them to understand. But she's ready to eat some meat. She ain't the younger. She's the older. But she is the more mature in the group. And that's what happens. If some of us are that way, and we have to realize, who are we? When it comes to the things of God and God talking to you, would you have took the stuff and went and looked for the casinos? Now, some of you think it's okay to go to casinos. I don't. Now, you do what you want to do. This is me. I never told you this until now. I don't like casinos. You're going to go there, might as well go to the tavern. And I know they have Al Green coming sometimes and stuff like that. Singing Let's Stay Together. But I wouldn't go to casino. Not even for my wife wouldn't want me to take her to the casino. She's too mature for that. But now I'm losing some of y'all right now because I can see it in your eyes. You're like, no, you got the nerve to say that while I'm sitting up in here. But it's true because, see, okay, for some people, why go to a casino? And you know you can't be around a lot of alcohol. Because you have a propensity in your family or maybe in your life for alcohol. For me, I hate gambling. Okay, Lord says I can explain that and that's it. I hate gambling. And the reason is very simple, and I share it because I'm not trying to put my business out in the street. But the Bible says that we're supposed to be an example to the flock. But I had a relative, actually, it was my mother, that got caught up with gambling, but it was bingo. And now bingo is like playing chess or playing checkers or playing fish with the cards. No, it's not. Gambling is gambling because you put your trust in someone or something other than God. And so, you know, some of you saying, well, what can I do? Well, you ain't going to go to the casino, okay? But you can go where you want to go. I'm just telling you, for me and my house, I'd rather go to God's house than that house. So how many gamblers do we have up in here? No, I'm just kidding. Wow. That's what I feel like saying. Okay. Look what it says. Give me my share. What you going to do with your share? God gives you a share every week. You get a tithe and you get an offering every week, somehow, or at least every month. What do you do with your share? Boy, it's quiet. I actually have 4 more minutes. And I'm going to take them all. Okay. What would you do if you got your share? Say the property's worth $3 million. You got your 1.5 out of the family, which is what he was going to do when he died anyhow. He's just doing it early, living trust, or I don't care how you want to do it. But how are you going to do that? What would you do with that portion? You've got to ask these questions. That's why it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible not for us to be able to look at him and say, whoa, he was really messed up. No, it's for us to be able to challenge our lives based on parallel comparison of what we would do with this. Because there's some of us that if we did win the lotto, we wouldn't come to church no more. Forget that. If you got that promotion you've been praying for. Some people, now, other people, they, you're not going to win the lotto, but what I'm saying, other people, they get blessed in a great way, their business takes off, and they're so committed, they become more of a server in the kingdom than ever before. You can't even tell that they're that blessed because they became more of a servant to God. That's what God really wants. The more you're blessed, the lower you should see yourself carrying yourself. Not big shots. Just little shots that kept on shooting. So we have to really think through this. And this is where we go with these things. We have to be able to use them as a life comparison. I'm almost done. As a life comparison. And don't be afraid to do that. All of us need to make adjustments. And so we use the scriptures, the word, to do that. So he divided to them the estate between them, amplified. Let's go to the next verse and we'll quit in about another 2 minutes. Now, when he had spent everything, see, and this is what's crazy. Even our first lady teaches you to, you know, to spend, save, and sow. Don't spend everything on anything, including don't give everything to the church. Now, I know that sounds counter to what you think a pastor thinks. But I'm telling you, you need to live off, you need to pay your bills. You need to pay your bills, you need to pay your car payment because we don't need you walking to church. You need to pay your house payment because we don't want to have to help you pay your rent because we don't. We got too many people that need rent, so we can't help everybody. So we don't help anybody with that, we help with food. And you need to buy some food and you need to eat it. Because we ain't going to feed you up in here. We'll give you some money. We'll give you something if you're hurting for a little while. But after a while, God should kick in and some blessings should come your way. And you don't have to sit here at the church waiting for a meal every week, every day. Now, this is just practical stuff, the way we think. But we've thought through it on the Bible. Now, I know this doesn't sound like church. It sounds like some community meeting. But I'm trying to help you to understand what we're all about as the body of Christ. We have got to learn how to not be the younger. And also, even if we're the older, we got to learn how the older should be operating and not jealous of what happened with the younger because he got saved and came back. And you've been sitting up in the church all this time and you ain't giving me no attention. You had all the attention. All of this has been yours, is what the Father said. It's been yours all the whole time, but you sit there all with some old religious attitude like you can't believe for nothing. Believe for what you want to believe for. The sky's a limit. Don't get mad at your brothers that's making it or being redeemed. Give God the glory and just thank God for what he's doing in your life. Last thing I'm going to say, it's in the book of St. John. Jesus was with his disciples before he went for his ascension into heaven. He was talking to his disciples before the day of Pentecost. And Peter started asking him, Lord, what do you think Andrew is going to do? One of the other disciples. And then he asked, what do you think? I don't know if it was Andrew or it was one of the other disciples. What do you think John's going to be doing? What do you think about Matthew? And Jesus said, don't worry about them. Do your job and shut your mouth. Paraphrase. And this is how we need to get. Stop worrying about other people. Now, I'm meeting with all kinds of pastors in this city. We're putting together a coalition. The devil needs to know it, and you need to know it. We're putting together a coalition of pastors. We have already about 7 to 8 pastors to stand up for what's right in this state. According to the word of God, not according to political whims and the flavor of the day. And what you need to know is that you need to stand up for what's right in your own life. It's time for you to be able to take a stand and to be somebody that's less than the one looking for influencers to influence you. You are an influencer. You should be influencing your relatives, your friends, your neighborhood. I'll say this last thing, I'm closed. I play my music. I live in a cul-de-sac. We got the biggest house in the cul-de-sac.
And we at the end of the cul-de-sac where everybody wants to be. I take my little boom box on wheels, roll it right out there to my driveway during decent hours, and play my Jesus music as loud as I can. Sure do. Now I'm about to grab a microphone. And you know what I notice? Every time I bring out that boom box and BB and CC start going, they start walking around, you know, like they're taking a walk in the neighborhood because they be loving their stuff, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got to do something to influence others instead of being influenced. Don't be like either one of the prodigals. Don't be jealous of your brothers. That's getting grace from God, favor, and prosperity. And don't be a fool and spend everything on the whorish life. They're both in the Bible. I'm not saying anything negative or bad. I'm preaching to you the word of God. There's somewhere in the middle that we can be, where we celebrate our brothers and sisters that are playing in the park and ministering to people and getting instruments donated to them and all kinds of stuff like that. We're celebrating that. We're excited about people that got a big windfall in their business or just closed a big piece of property they've been trying to sell. We celebrate it. We're not angry about it. And we're not one that as soon as we get something, we head to the casino. 6 months later, you ain't got a dime and stand in the prayer line for God to bless you. Cut it out. I'm saying it for the Lord. I'm saying it for him. Cut it out. He's tired of playing your game. Live right, prosper, enjoy your life. I'm done.